Long Talk Radio.
Thank you. Okay, we're back live, Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce show here, but we think it might be important, you know, for our listeners to listen to Donald Trump, listen to what he says, and how we think it will affect you and your future, the future of your children, and the future of this country, the future of our lives, the future of how he's going to deal with racial issues. We need to listen to this, and I'm going to allow us to listen to this for a little while, and then I'll be back and we'll talk about it.
He's acting a little bit rambunctious again. So I ordered 4,000 television sets from South Korea, whether it's Samsung or Sharp or LG or any of them. They're all made in South Korea. I paid a fortune. And they're wonderful. And they're wonderful people. They're making a fortune. Do we have anybody that makes television sets in this country? I almost like don't think so, right? So they're mostly made, other than Sony, which has lost its way. Prices are too high. But they're mostly made in South Korea. So now I see North Korea is acting up. So I see that we're sending ships and we're getting our troops ready. We have 28,000 troops over there. And we're getting ready just in case, Bob, we're going to fight, we're going to protect. We get nothing. We get nothing. What do we get? We get nothing. Saudi Arabia, and I get along great with all of them. They buy apartments from me. They spend $40 million, $50 million. Am I supposed to dislike them? I like them very much. But, you know, Saudi Arabia makes $1 billion a day. A day. That's in all fairness, just before the oil went down a little bit, but that's okay. These are minor details. But let's say they were. So now they're making $500 million a day. That's not so bad, right? We get nothing. And they wouldn't be there without our protection. Even Germany. Germany's a power. Who has a Mercedes-Benz? Anybody? A lot of people. They're a power. They pay us nothing. We defend the whole world. All you have to do, and we want to be nice. Somebody said, oh, that's like the mafia defense. They said, don't worry about it, okay? The mafia is not so stupid, all right? They said, that's terrible to ask for money. No, they said it. They said, that's terrible. How could you possibly ask for money to defend the country? I mean, tell me, how crazy are we? So now we're sending our ships, we're sending our everything. We got, I'll tell you what, those 28,000 troops that we have right now on the border between North and South Korea, that's dangerous territory. They're in harm's way. They're in harm's way. And we get nothing. We get nothing. Other than they're a good competitor. I mean, they compete with us. They take our trade. We lose a fortune with them. We lose a fortune with China. We defend Japan. You know, we have an agreement with Japan where if somebody attacks Japan, we have to come to their rescue. But if we get attacked, Japan doesn't have to help us. Do you think that's a good deal? That's sort of like Sergeant Bergdahl. Has anybody heard of Sergeant Bergdahl? The traitor. No, the traitor. I call President Obama the 5-for-1 president. We get Sergeant Bergdahl, a traitor, who, by the way, 6 people, at least, that we know of, 6 people were killed trying to get this guy back. 6 people. They went after him. They wanted to get him back. So we get Sergeant Bergdahl. And they get 5 people.
All right, just so we're clear here, Sergeant Bergdahl is not being prosecuted for treason. He is being prosecuted for desertion. The Army prosecutor is planning on presenting no evidence that 6 people died in looking for Sergeant Bergdahl, and they, of course, are the people that have that evidence. It's a claim that Donald Trump said the other day.
New Hampshire was so incredible. The crowd, you saw it. It was in television. Every time I go on television, it's got to be live. It's live. I said, oh, can I have a rest, please? Tonight it's live on Fox. It's live. Who likes Fox? I like Fox. It's live on CNN. Who likes CNN? And it's, oh, this is going to be, and it's live on MSNBC, right? Well, they're still working. They're still working. But I said, you know, how come it always has to be live? Why don't they just cover me like anybody else, where they go the next day and they show a little clip? Every time I speak, it has to be live. It's not this ridiculous. But it's okay, right? We have to suffer with it. But look, the reason I have this incredible... really incredible enthusiasm, and I really appreciate it, especially with this weather and this heat and everything else. But the reason I have it is because I do know what I'm doing, and I don't say that in a braggadocious way. You people are looking for somebody that knows what he's doing, whatever it is. You know? Thank you, darlings. I'm going to sign her book. I got to get her the hell out of here. She's so beautiful. I said it the other night. My second favorite book of all time. What's my first favorite book? The Bible. The Bible. And as much as I love The Art of the Deal, it's not even close. We take the Bible all the way, right? Okay, thanks. So, I was saying, so they said I wasn't going to run. And everybody said, oh, he's never going to run. Never going to run. He's just having fun. Just a good time. His brand. And like, I care of my brand. At this point, you know, my brand. I mean, I lose gutless Macy's because I said about illegal immigration. They dropped my brand, and I'm supposed to be. They're gutless. They're all gutless. I have to sue Univision. Univision, my poor Miss Universe people, the beautiful girls, these beautiful women, summer girls, but beautiful women. And I get dropped by, think of it, you have these magnificent women that work all their life to be in the Miss USA contest and the Miss. And 2 weeks before the contest, NBC and Univision dropped because they thought my tone was a little bit strong. And it turned out I was right. So here's the good news. I sued them both. And, I mean, in the case of Univision, I sued them for $500 million. I want that money. I want that money. So I actually put it on the other day, Miss USA. I put it on because it was only fair to the people when we had it on this small network, and it was fine. But who would do that? All because they want to be so politically correct. They actually called and they said, oh, we'll get it back on soon, we'll get it back on soon. You know, in the case of a couple, they said, Trump loses NASCAR. It was all over the world. A friend of mine called, you know, because I opened with a strong statement, meaning illegal immigration. We got to solve the problem. So all over, one day it was NASCAR. Trump loses NASCAR. I said, I don't have a deal with NASCAR. It turned out that I lost NASCAR. You know what they did? They rented a ballroom at Trump Doral. Can you believe it? That was my lawsuit. They had a ballroom. And by the way, I kept their deposit and rented it to somebody else. The next day, I didn't even know I had a deal with them. It turned out they had the ballroom in one of my places, Doral. The next day, ESPN severs ties with Trump. It's all over the world. ESPN. I have friends that called me from Paris. He's a great businessman. Oh, it's too bad about what happened to ESPN. You know what it was? A golf outing at one of my courses in Los Angeles. Can you believe it? This is my big deal. And this was all over the world. I mean, the press, I don't know, maybe they didn't get it. Maybe they don't get it. I was very disappointed, though, with Macy's. You know, shirts and ties, not a big deal. But they heard there were going to be 3 pickets in front of the store. And they called, oh, we're going to have pickets. We're going to have pickets. I said, look, in 2 hours, they'll be gone. Now, believe me. They'll go for lunch. They won't come back. Don't worry about it. I've been through it. It's true. But they said, oh, this is so bad. Can we sever ties? I said, I don't care, sever ties. I don't wear ties so much anymore, you know? I didn't like the ties that much anyway. You know why? Because they were made in China. It always drove me nuts. True. But they were good.
That's Donald Trump doing the going in on Macy's part of the stump speech to become standard, of course, in the Republican primary, getting the tens of thousands of people there to cheer him, suing people that backed out of deals with him. Pretty much through the looking glass, we're going to take a quick break and come back more with the Trump Check Live. Do not go anywhere.
Okay, we're back live, waiting for the rest of Mr. Trump's speech. But you know, he talks about all of this stuff, which is not really realistic. You know, and he talks about all of these illegal immigrants, you know, and And you know, one thing, I looked at the crowd that he has out there, and then when you look at a crowd and it has 99.9% of his people are black or white, it tells you something. It shows the separation of this country. There's still a racial problem in this country. And all the things that he are alluding to are pretty much geared toward the upper income white folk. We as black folk are not even in the conversation on the political field anymore. We are just taking what's left over and what's thrown at us. We're just obeying whatever commands. We are just allowing our children to be denied, deprived, shot, killed. We're denying our children a future, a chance to grow financially, economically, and also spiritually. Because, you know, I'm hearing people say stuff like, why would God do this to me? Why would God do this to me? Okay, he's back. Let me go back to this. I want you to hear.
Very weak on immigration, wants to let people come in. Although now he is using Anchor Baby. You know, he put out a memo. You cannot use Anchor Baby. Now because I used it, he's using it.
All right, joining me now, McKay Coppin, senior political writer for BuzzFeed, Democratic strategist Tara Dowdell, Sam Cedar, MSNBC contributor, and host of the Majority Report. Everything, first of all, I just want to, you know, in terms of how we set this up, the pandering thing. I mean, I love you guys in Alabama, bringing the woman up with the book. Like, this is all, you guys like Fox? Yeah, we like Fox. I mean, he starts out, his first line is, Billy Graham. One of the greatest preachers. One of the greatest.
I mean, everything that we said tonight, I think, is bearing out and even building on, right? I mean, I think that what the most impressive thing that he's doing tonight is showing that channeling his winnerness, his entire brand, which is built on being a tough guy bully who beats people to a pulp, right? But
that's the other people.
In fact, you heard him say, this guy came and this lobbyist tried to give me $5 million, and I said, no, I shouldn't have taken it. Maybe I should take it and screw him. I mean, that is,
and
the crowd loves that, right? Because what he's doing is saying, I'm like this. I will do what I've done my whole life,
right,
and I'll do it for you, and I'll do it against all these countries and everyone who's screwing you right now.
Exactly. But the irony is that everything he's done tonight, to your point earlier, has been exactly what a politician would do. He is unfettered pandering right now. But he's taken the Republican message, a very simple, crisp, easy to understand message, and he's taken it to a higher level.
Well, a lower level of lack of deep, right?
Right.
And the thing about politicians, that was a big moment, I gotta say. Jeff Sessions comes out.
Right.
Sessions comes out, puts on the hat for a second and takes it off,
realizing what he's just thought about it, right?
No, seriously. Because I think that counts. Jeff Sessions, it appears, just endorsed Donald Trump.
Right.
That's the first Republican elected to endorse him, as far as I can tell.
He's very excited, I think, about the idea of getting rid of birthright citizenship. And I think for Jeff Sessions, and you know, at the very least, that's his payback. But I think, you know, it has to be said that Trump is just delivering the subtext. All the other stuff that the Republicans say at the end of the day can be boiled down to, are you going to be tough?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Are you going to make it? Are you going to make those people pay? Are you going to be muscular in some fashion?
Right.
And so, you know, I mean, I think
this
is about looking at who the Republican Party is.
Right.
It's about Trump, but only to the extent of he's a mirror. And that's what he keeps doing. He just keeps mirroring.
We're going to have a very special guest with us coming up in just a bit to respond to Donald Trump, who is still going down there in Mobile, Alabama. McKay Coppins, Tara Dowdell, Sam Cedar, thanks so much for your time tonight. Really appreciate
it.
Stay with us. Trump Check Live after this break.
Okay, we're back live. You know, we're doing the Trump thing with MSNBC, and they're taking a break right now. But we let me do a little advertisement on August 29th. That's a week from tomorrow. We're going to have a sit-in rally where we're going to be on the 100 block of West Evans Street, 100 block of West Evans Street here in Florence, South Carolina, from 11 to 2, talking about issues that that affect black folk, how we have been neglected, denied, deprived, and run out, and everything else of the economic growth of the city of Florence. And the thing about it is, you know, that we as, you know, those of us who are in the lower end of the income totem pole, they are taking our tax dollars and giving it to those folk who are in the upper end of the totem pole, creating an elitist society for them in which it's going to price us out, where we are not going to be able to enjoy the elitist society that they are creating for the elitist group. And see, and that's not by chance, it's by design. They don't really want us. Us, me, and black folk. You know, it was said, let me change that. I was told that it was said that the only way that we're going to revitalize downtown and make sure that it's successful is we're going to have to get rid of all the black folk. All the black folk that are way down there have to go. The only ones that stayed were the few that owned their own businesses. The only ones, only original black companies or businesses that stayed downtown were the few that owned their own businesses. Now, prior to this downtown revitalization project thing, 99% of downtown was black. And listen to what I'm saying to you. The only ones that were ever able to stay were the ones that were on their own businesses. Now they are creating this elitist society with bought buildings, giving them millions of dollars to fix it up, millions of dollars in tax breaks, using monies that they get from those of us, all of us within the city, but know what the incentives that's given to black folks, the few, the select few that they select, that we feel they feel comfortable with, the select few that will not dare challenge anything that they do, because they are the ones that we've chosen to say to be the carry out the Willie Lynch syndrome. We'll keep you up as long as you help us keep the rest of them down. We'll keep you up as long as you help us keep the rest of them down. You know, that's pretty much the policy that's being carried out by the system, as well as a number of us. You know, I heard a young lady say today, oh, it's such a great thing, all of these young black professionals, how we are there mingling. Young black professionals, what about those of us? What do you mean by young black professional? Do you have to have a doctor's degree? Do you have to be a lawyer? Do you have to be a doctor? Who are the young black professionals? What about the barbers, these guys who cut hair? What about the contractors who build houses? And what about the trash truck guys who pick up your trash? You know, to try to not what they have done. Was they have been able to separate us from us And in doing so, it makes us so much weaker. And I've found that there are so many of us that are really just giving up and accepting the fact that I am third class. So I'll just take what I can get. If I can just make it through today and have a little hope for tomorrow, I'm okay. And they have degraded us to that point. We have got to begin to stand up. We have children that we have brought into this world, and we have betrayed them. This is not normal, people. You know, you fight for your children. You fight for your kids. Fight to the death. And what's happening now to our children and our future? You know, those of us who are older, you know, we have an obligation to do what is necessary to make things better for our children. How many of you out there can say, look, I feel that my child has a better chance now than I do? You know, nowadays, we are more afraid of the police than anything. That's the biggest fear of our lives. You know, talking to another friend of mine, he was telling me that we are now feeling the effects of Ronald Reagan. We are now feeling the effects of Ronald Reagan. And I'm saying, what do you mean by that? Well, Ronald Reagan was the one who appointed all of these Republican racist judges, prosecutors. And it was followed by Clinton. You know, it's hard to get people to understand that Clinton wasn't our best friend. He was on the TV the other day apologizing for the things that he'd done to black folk. And we were out there even calling him the first black president. But see, Reagan started the trend on dehumanizing black folk. And Clinton expanded it. And so, you know, we have to learn who have been good for us and who have been bad. We have to learn the system, how it is systematically depriving our youth of their future. We can't continue to let this go on. On Saturday, tomorrow, not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow, we're going to have this sit-in. Bring your lawn chairs, because we are looking for 100, 150 people, and the area is only big enough for maybe, you know, 25 people. So bring your lawn chairs so that you won't have to stand. You know, I got about 3 or 4. I need one, but I'll stand if I need to. But we need you there. We want you sitting down, listening to what we have to say. There are a number of people who are going to be there. We're going to give every person that wants to speak 10 minutes to talk about issues, how they are being negatively affected. You know, I'm seeing we're talking about how the economy is rebounding, and that is such a myth for us. It is such a myth for us. We have, you know, daily, I'm confronted with people being put out, people not having food. Kids not able to get their school supplies. Now, these are problems that I'm faced with annually. But this is the worst. Every year it gets worse and worse. And I'm understanding and I'm seeing that those above that line, that income line that they have drawn, seem to get better and better. You know, I'm just amazed at how we can have so many black folk out there cherishing the rise in the income gap and think it's such a great thing how we are improving the quality of life for the upper income people of our city at the expense of those of us who are below that what they call medium income line. It is pitiful, pathetic, and sick. We as a people are going, the only hope we have, we got no money, because those of us, now there are a lot of black folk in France that do have some money. They're not sharing it with us. They don't spend it with us. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. I'm going to take a song break because I do think we need some spiritual enlightenment about now.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
There's an army rising up.
Okay, we're going to go back to
thousands of people in Alabama literally fleeing their homes in the middle of the night after Alabama Republicans passed anti-immigrant law in the country by a mile.
Now we go to Alabama, where a federal judge has upheld the toughest immigration law in the country, a law that goes so far as to tell elementary schools to investigate their kids. Opponents of this law are promising a fight. NBC's Kerry Sanders in Birmingham, Alabama, for us tonight. Kerry, good evening.
Well, good evening, Brian. The state immigration law is now on the books here, but those who will have to enforce it are yet to figure out just how they'll do that.
Today, police in Alabama have new power. Teachers have new responsibilities to check people's birth certificates and to enforce what until now was federal immigration law. 39-year-old Amanda says she left El Salvador and illegally entered the U.S. 4 years ago. In Alabama, she cleans houses and babysits.
I'm afraid that I'll go to work, and I don't know if I'm going to ever return to my house.
And that's the goal, in part, say Alabama lawmakers, to scare undocumented immigrants like Amanda so she effectively deports herself.
And that's what it's really about, trying to get the illegal workforce to move out and let Alabamians plug into those jobs.
This Alabama law was like nothing that had been done before in modern politics. It made kids afraid to go to school. Overnight, thousands of Latino kids just disappeared from Alabama schools, with some of them undocumented, some of them not. And just afraid of what would happen if they showed up at an Alabama school while being Latino. It made any sort of contract or agreement entered into with a person who might be an illegal immigrant itself an illegal act. So that meant things like hiring somebody to do work. It also meant things like allowing someone to rent an apartment or selling someone something, so giving somebody a ride in your car. If there was a chance that person was an illegal immigrant, you were risking arrest in Alabama for giving them a lift. Arizona is the state that actually ended up getting more attention for its anti-immigrant papers, please law, right? But it was Alabama that was a worse law than Arizona's law. And Alabama was first. They were worse and they were first. And whether or not Alabama Republicans have a national reputation for being the most radical anti-immigrant politicians in the country, Alabama Republicans really are the most radically anti-immigrant politicians in the country. And they are not embarrassed about it.
As your congressman on the House floor, I'll do anything short of shooting them. Anything that is lawful, it needs to be done because illegal aliens need to quit taking jobs from American citizens.
Mo Brooks, Alabama congressman, talking about how sad he is that he will not be able to shoot illegal aliens from the House floor. They'll have to stop short of that, House rules. On the Senate floor, Alabama Republicans have been well represented on this issue by Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III. Jeff Sessions, who is chair of the Immigration Subcommittee in Congress. Jefferson Sessions, if you want to get the flavor of his politics on the subject, consider that he thinks cracking down on just illegal immigrants is a sign of weakness. He thinks that's for sissies. Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III, the senior senator from Alabama, has made it his signature issue to crack down not just on illegal immigrants, but on legal immigrants. He's not just against illegal immigration, he's against legal immigration. He's not just against illegal immigrants, he's against immigrants, full stop. On that immigration committee he runs, his anti-legal immigration legislation was so out there, even Ted Cruz wouldn't support it, and that's saying something. But if you want to know why tonight Donald Trump is turning out thousands of people in Mobile, Alabama, of all places tonight, why the single largest campaign crowd for any Republican candidate on the campaign trail thus far this year. Almost a Bernie-sized crowd for Donald Trump tonight. You want to know why they're out to see Donald Trump in Alabama? It is because Donald Trump's campaign right now is being fueled arguably as much by his radical anti-immigrant stance as it is by his celebrity. And when Donald Trump needed someone to write his anti-immigrant plan, which he released this past week, the man he asked to write his anti-immigrant plan was Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions. That's who wrote Donald Trump's immigration plan.
All right, when I think of two people that I know pretty well, you and Mr. Trump, you couldn't be more different when it comes to the way you go about things, your personalities, but tell us why you agree with him on the content of this plan that you helped to craft.
Basically, Shannon, it's just a mainstream plan to do what politicians have been promising to do for 30 years.
It is not at all a mainstream plan. It is a Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama plan. It's an Alabama Republican plan, which until 5 minutes ago was too radical for the rest of the Republican Party, even for the likes of Ted Cruz. But it is now the Donald Trump anti-immigrant plan. And that is the latest can of kerosene that he has thrown on the inferno of his presidential campaign. So if you want to know why Donald Trump was able to turn out his largest crowd yet, this big crowd in Alabama of all places, why he's down there with his hair and everything in 100-degree Alabama heat and 100% humidity, there he is with Jeff Sessions. It's because Donald Trump got his anti-immigrant politics delivered to him, special delivery from that man in Alabama. And now he is riding that anti-immigrant wave to its natural home in a football stadium in Alabama that he's been able to, I think, slightly less than half fill, even though he bragged today that he was going to be able to fill it all the way. A shot at the crowd tonight. Joining us now is NBC's Katie Tour, who is in Mobile, Alabama, where Donald Trump is making these remarks tonight at this remarkable event. Katie, thanks for joining us. Is it fun?
Well, yes. It's always interesting, at the very least, when you're coming out with Donald Trump. You never know what he's going to say. The people you speak with have a variety of interesting positions, and it's always surprising to talk to people who contradict each other many of the times. A lot of people coming out saying that the worst thing he could possibly do was to endorse Obama, or not even endorse, say anything nice about Obama, then get people who are a little bit more down the middle saying that they just want somebody who's going to be different, a businessman, somebody who's going to bring a different thought process to politics. But so far, no lacking for interesting subjects or people or lines of the Donald Trump campaign. Of all the campaigns to be on, Rachel, this is the one that will get the most interesting action, no doubt.
Katie, in terms of the reason there's so much attention on this event tonight, one, it's just weird to see Donald Trump in Alabama. Like, it's like chalk and cheese. You don't expect those things in the same place. But two, it's because he made this big deal out of saying that he needed a 50,000-seat venue in order to fit in the tens of thousands of people who wanted to turn out tonight. What's the size of the crowd vis-a-vis the size of that, the capacity of that venue tonight?
Well, the capacity of this venue is 40,000 people. It's about half full, and that's what the stadium is also saying today, that there are about 20,000 people here. It's not quite the crowd that they had expected or hoped for, but it's still a pretty big crowd. And I was talking to some of the campaign people a little bit earlier today, and they did say that even if half the people showed up, which about half did, they would still consider it to be a very successful event. And so far, they are believing that it is. It is the biggest Republican rally so far on the campaign. Didn't quite reach Bernie Sanders' size, but the turnout is good for Donald Trump. He is going to use this as a rallying cry. He's going to say it is a great success. And, of course, him being here in Alabama, as you said, is a little odd. He's a billionaire from Queens, coming down to Alabama and talking to Southerners down here. And when you speak to people, they often will tell you they don't take that well to Yankees around here. But they do say that Donald Trump is one of them because he speaks his mind and he tells the truth in a way that Mitt Romney never was. He didn't win any Deep South states, did not win Alabama. He wasn't seen as one of them down here. But Donald Trump, despite the fact that he has a Queens accent, he speaks very loudly. He's all about himself when he speaks. And he's a billionaire who buzzed this place in a 757 and lives in a golden tower in Manhattan. They say that he speaks to them and is more one of them than many of the other people in this campaign right now, precisely because he is an outsider. Rachel.
Katie Tour, NBC News correspondent in Mobile tonight. Katie, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Donald Trump wrapping up his remarks right now in Mobile. Let's just go and listen to him wrap up these events, this remark.
Thank you. Thank you very
Okay, we're back live listening to Donald Trump and all of his rhetoric. But, you know, it's just amazing that to see how many people appreciate all this crazy stuff that he says. All of this stuff that he can't do, this is what I'm going to do. Anybody that has a little bit of intelligence and know a little bit about the law, the Constitution, just a little bit, can understand that what he's saying is just not realistic. And why is it, you see one? Oh, why is that? But you know, it shows you that this is what people want. They want this separation. They want this white supremacy kind of thing that I think that his overall objective is to promote this kind of thing, to create this proletariat society where we most especially us. Now, I don't think this thing is only after these immigrants. You heard that it was said not only the undocumented immigrants, but the documented immigrants as well. And I wonder, what does he think of us? You know, the 14th Amendment was put in place especially for us, because, you know, we were not considered citizens. And matter of fact, we weren't even considered to be human. And so that law was put in place for black folk. Now he wants to repeal that. You know, so if he repeals it, you know, if it was specifically for us that applies to others, then once the others go away, what makes you think that he's not going to come after us? What makes you think that they are not going to come after us? But, you know, this stuff is unrealistic. We know that it's not going to happen. Well, you know, nothing surprises me now how complacent that we have become, how it is we have allowed ourselves to be subjects to a this white great white hope that has come not only to deliver white folk but to enslave black folk, and we are endorsing the concept. It's tough. Why aren't we saying, I want not more of the pie, I want my fair share of the pie? Fair shares are not being given here in the city of Florence, South Carolina. You know, I'm fighting, I'm pushing, I'm doing all that I can to get fairness and equality. I'm getting kickback from those who I'm fighting for, to say that I'm fighting too hard. Well, I don't think I'm fighting hard enough, because the objective that I'm trying to portray, and that is we are not getting our fair share, is not being heard. It's not being heard. So, you know, tonight you listen to Donald Trump, and because I thought maybe you should. And I thank you for listening. And as always, we always go out the same way we came in. And until tomorrow night, I mean, not tomorrow, Monday. We won't be here tomorrow. But Monday, 8:30, I'm sorry. We'll be here. Good night.
Stopped paying all of his staffers. So Rick Perry's the president's campaign is now a voluntary operation, which is not good. Also, Rick Perry is under indictment, which is also not good. But everybody's been thinking that in this giant field of Republican candidates, guys. This is the game. I'm talking about the ghetto. Showing up talking about the ghetto. Yeah.